Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews, press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Hello, Star Wars fans, and welcome to Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance, a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. I am one of your hosts, the Internet Soapbox Mark. Joseph Scrimshaw is away for the week, but joining me today on this special Force Friday edition is the one, the only, the returning Jedi Master himself, Ken Knapsack.
So great to be here. Joseph is out on assignment,
yes.
Right? Having fun at Dragon Con.
He's touring his new Star Wars-related album.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rebel Scum, or what is it called?
Rebel Scum.
Yeah, yeah. And if you haven't bought that, check it out. I am so happy to be back here on a Labor Day holiday here in America. Yeah, I know we have some international listeners, and so happy to be a guest in your house now.
Yeah, you don't have to do all the work, and now I'm over here sweating.
Look at this. My hands are free. There's no computer, no format in front of me.
I got all
this
the papers
great.
And all the nerves, everything. But we do have a couple of wonderful Kylo Ren mugs.
That's right. Crush the resistance, everybody. Crush the resistance.
Beautiful. One of our many spoils from Force Friday, which we will talk about in a moment. But first, we wanted to hear from Joseph Scrimshaw on the road. So he sent a short little message, which he will bring to you now.
Hello, this is co-host Joseph Scrimshaw. I am reporting from Dragon Con in Atlanta, where I've been performing all weekend. At last night's show, I got to swear at 1,000 audience members while pretending to be Emperor Palpatine, which was great fun, and I highly recommend doing. There are, of course, a ton of great Star Wars costumes at Dragon Con. There are many Stormtroopers, Jedi, and I even saw 2 women dressed as Ewoks. Ewoks who wore bikinis, or Ewok-kinis. But as much fun as it is to see all the costumes, it's super fun to see people just doing normal human things in awesome Star Wars costumes. I saw Obi-Wan Kenobi sitting alone eating a whole Papa John's pizza. I saw Darth Vader vaping. I saw Jedi Master Aayla Secura drinking a Bud Light. And I saw a Stormtrooper come out of a toilet stall, which was terrifying. And of course, you get to overhear a lot of great quotes at Dragon Con. My favorite was something that was both funny and captured the spirit of being a Star Wars fan. I walked past 2 Jedi, and one said to the other, "Hey man, I really need help. Can you hold my lightsaber for a minute?" So thanks to Mark for holding the show's lightsaber while I'm away. I hope you all have a great show, and may the Force be with you.
Much love to Joseph Scrimshaw sharing his thoughts from the road.
Absolutely, and love conventions because Star Wars is so well represented. Mm-hmm. And right now, there's a lot of great cosplay going on out there at these conventions. And I kind of admit I want to see some bikini Ewoks.
Bikiwoks? Ewokinis.
Ewokinis.
Would that be something you would be interested in wearing yourself?
God, no. For the sake of society, I will keep dressing like Cheap Trippa.
Okay. I was going to say, what's your dream cosplay?
If I was to actually go and cosplay, that is a great question. I've never actually done that.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably want... I wouldn't go Mandalorian because a lot of people do it, and a lot of people do it well. I think I'd probably just have to go as my old standby favorite, Moff Jer Gerard.
Oh, yeah?
I'd dress as the administrator of the second Death Star.
Even though you've got the whole Master Luke thing going on from Force Awakens?
Yes, thank you. I can now freely grow this beard due to a job switch, and it came in a lot more gray than I anticipated, so I figured if Hamill can pull it off, maybe I'll cosplay as old Luke.
That'll work. We'll see you around Halloween time. So usually, as you did during the first era, you asked returning guests a whole bunch of questions based on whatever we were talking about. So I brought up a whole bunch of toy-related questions since this is all about Force Friday and the implications of toys on the marketplace. The first question I want to ask you was, what was your favorite Star Wars toy growing up?
Well, I guess I politically could answer the Y-wing, because that is the thing I've become most associated with.
That's what
with.
The lobbyists allow you to say.
Yeah, and in fact, I unearthed a picture last night. I was cleaning up my apartment and found the picture of that I took of the box and the Y-wing before I unopened it, before I opened it. It wasn't Christmas 1983, but it was around that time. Might have been a birthday, something like that. So I posted that on the Jedi Alliance fan page on Facebook, so go there, watch it. But if I'm being honest with myself, this is going to be a little off beaten path. My favorite Star Wars toy growing up was probably break apart C-3PO.
Really?
To me, because it came with that little plastic bag, mm-hmm. and you could pull it apart, and then I had the Chewie, and I put it on. You had to kind of, the arms, you know, the Kenner arms kind of got like this, and you put the bag on, and it was like, it was like 2-3 toys in one. Mm. And it was just one of my favorite, and I loved the look of it, and it was just one of my favorite little toys.
I didn't have as many of the, I had more of the ships and lightsabers and the bigger stuff. I never had too many of the Kenners. So that's, I can't tell you how many lightsabers I went through just having the Vader beat down or the Luke beat down. Those are so amazing. What was the toy that you always wanted, but you never got? Was there anything, or were all of little...
It's still
little,
going.
Is it?
The answer's still going. And I haven't had a chance to do this yet. The dollar price, it's not price to go. Mm. But I, at one point, need to own the Lego Death Star.
That is a pricey piece of toy.
It's like 400 plus bucks.
400 bucks.
And since it's kind of out of print, so to speak, now, it's probably even a little bit more pricier than that. Never got it. I know some friends who have it. I walked into a party one night, and this is an adult party. People in their 20s, 30s, into early 40s, and the host of the house goes, "Hey, you want to come to my room and see something?" I'm like, "Well, that's a great start to a party."
Loaded question.
Go in there, and he had the Death Star built, set up on display, and I spent like an hour in his room just like, "Whoa, trash compactor, oh, meeting room, oh." So I have to own that at some point.
Any leads can be sent directly to Ken Knapsack on Twitter, twitter.com/KenKnapsack.
I'm tempted to start one of those stupid Amazon public wish lists that porn stars start to buy Jenna Jameson a blender. I want to do that with a Death Star toy, a Lego toy.
That would almost make too much sense. It's almost like buy me a Star Trek communicator. Just like, what? All right, sure, whatever you want, Ken. What's your favorite toy line as an adult? There's so many now. There's the Black Series. Yeah. There's, of course, we've got the Pops up here. Even Legos are still a standby. There's so many different lines.
That Danish Brick Company, which got me in trouble once.
Shall not be named.
No, we've already too late. But I grew up a Lego kid. Yeah. I still have my 1982 Galaxy Commander ship built in my room. Built it in 1982 as a six-year-old. I never took it apart. Never took it apart. It's still sitting in my room. Legos have a special place in my heart. But right now, I'll tell you, it's a battle between Funko and the Black Series. They both display well, which right now, I don't take them out of the box, not for collecting reasons, just more for space. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to date when you're 40 and you bring a lady back to your room and you're like, "There's my Black Series toys." and they're on the shelf. So at least have them displayed nicely like they're art pieces.
Yeah.
But the packaging to me on the Funko Pops is I just love it. They're colorful, they're bright, they capture the essence of the characters. I gotta say right now, it's Funko.
Yeah,
the Pops.
They're simple. They're basic and they're easy to stack. You know, I'm unfortunately starting a collection myself, and it's easier. You just stack them on top of each other. You either start from the ground and go all the way up. You can put them wherever, and it's still just like awesome. These are all of the characters that I love or will love soon.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm watching the chat room. By the way, people are questioning. Yeah. I'm watching the chat room. Some of you are dirty, dirty people.
too much talk. What was that? Never mind. Not going to read the rest of that comment.
That's not true.
So moving on, if you could make any toy or collectible based on Star Wars, whether it exists or not, but I figured it wouldn't exist, if you could make anything, what would you make?
Well, I got to say, the BB-8, remote control BB-8, and I know there's a couple different versions, I think, that are out there, but the one that's kind of captured the public's...
The Sphero
BB-8. One right now, which, by the way, isn't much bigger than this.
No, it's like twice the size of that.
Yeah, it is pretty tiny. If I could make one thing, I mean, there's been, I mean, the Tauntaun sleeping bag was kind of a dream come true. I don't own it. I, as a kid, I always wanted like a bike that was a speeder bike.
Oh, yes.
I would have been thrown out of my neighborhood as a child if I'd worn that, or rode that around. I actually got on my own bike and just pretended it was a speeder bike. But if some kind of portable speeder bike, I would have.
Okay,
I would have.
Because we're getting the hoverboard technology now. It seems like it's only a matter of time before once they get that down, they can magnify it, make it a little bit bigger, mm-hmm. and start running around the forests of Northern California,
right?
And shooting people out and hitting trees. Will you pass your toys on to the next generation, whether that be son, daughter, niece, nephew,
sure.
or will they be enshrined with you when you become one with the Force?
Most likely enshrined. I don't have children, no plans to have children right now, but you never know where life takes you. I do have a niece and nephew, and my nephew, I think he's coming up on 12, and he's a big Lego fan. That's something we share. But I don't pass down, I just buy him the stuff.
You just buy more.
I've literally taken him to the Lego store and said, pick one, and because no one did that to me as a child, and so I get to be the cool uncle who has no real responsibilities other than to buy toys that mom can't afford. So I would do that.
Okay.
Now, eventually it might get to a point where I'm 75 and I have Star Wars Episode 15 Black Series figures, and when I pass on, I will probably pass on buried in my Wampa Funko Pop figures.
Probably.
No one will find me for 4 days until the smell of a Tauntaun comes out of my apartment. But at some point, maybe I can bequeath those toys to someone I love and care for.
Mm.
Might even be you, Mark. Donica.
Oh, now there's love in the mix, and they're talking about love in the chat room. Well, a type of love. So let's move on to news from the Holonet this week. Most of the stuff has come from the Force Friday, but there are a little bit of nuggets here and there that I wanted to talk about. A couple days ago, it was announced that there will be a one-shot C-3PO comic written by James Robinson and arted. Was the word that I was going to say, which was a dumb word, by Tony Harris. These guys did an award-winning run on Starman back in the day when he like just came back, and it was a really good comic. I would recommend the omnibuses; they're absolutely fantastic. And it's said that it will explain why C-3PO has a red arm. How do you think he got it?
I think. Well, the question is, how did he get a silver leg? So maybe we could explain that in detail, because to be honest with you, as much as I know Star Wars and spend time in the universe, I'm still not sure why he got a silver leg.
As just a spare silver leg, like, we'll paint it gold eventually, and it just never happened.
I heard the prequels were supposed to answer that. Like many things, the prequels didn't answer it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if history serves us correctly in this case, I believe C-3PO got that red arm in some kind of comical accident that happened around some kind of adventure.
It's probably going to be something where it was pulled out and he picked it up and he's going to shake it at somebody.
Yeah,
if history has told us anything.
Someone's going to yell, Ichuta, and it's just craziness is going to ensue.
Make it back onto the forest moon of Endor and someone's going to rip his arm off and why not? Let's go with red. It's reflects the blood of his enemies. Why not? Gets a little bit more savage. And then also, Episode 7 isn't even out yet.
Right.
And yet we have news going on about Episode 8, which you would hope that all of these talks are happening.
Production's not too far off from really, really getting into go mode. So
which is a part of our third story. But our next story, there's some Episode 8 casting for a new female lead. We've got Gina Rodriguez right there on the left from Jane the Virgin, Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black, and Olivia Cooke from the really recent release of Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Right.
The report is that they were doing screen tests with John Boyega. So that means that it were either
chemistry reads, as it were.
Yeah, so probably a love interest or a friendship or some whatever. Somebody's going to be spending a lot of time on screen with Finn, are we looking at a love interest? What do you think? That seems like the most.
Yeah, I guess you get into Episode 8 spoiler talk, but it's so far off I don't consider it much. It's just casting rumors. But chemistry reads. But chemistry reads doesn't mean romantic chemistry.
No, not at all.
It could mean they could be in a fight together, and they got to see if they get along.
Could be a female villain, like an Asajj Ventress sort of thing.
Absolutely. So we don't really know. Tatiana Maslany was rumored for Episode 7 at one point, and Rogue One maybe even more correctly there. So it seems her name is in the mix for something. I think this is – I'm not familiar with with all these TV shows. I hear Jane the Virgin is really good.
And it's
I know
pretty
Gina Rodriguez is nailing it in that. She's doing a great job. So these all look like great young dynamic performers, and that's what we need in Star Wars. And I like that they're all kind of TV based now, so we don't have giant mega movie stars joining Episode 8.
Agreed.
Not counting even the villain that I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Yes,
is a mega character actor versus a movie star.
And one of the things that I like that is just, I guess you would call it a positive spoiler, doesn't reveal anything about Finn and Rey's relationship at all. That's right. What I like about it. It's like, right. Oh, cool. I still don't know. Like, oh, they're not going to be romantically linked. They may not. Who knows? Whatever. Right. Going to wait and find out in December. Our third piece of news is that Benicio del Toro has confirmed that he is going to be a part of Episode 8, and his quote translated says he's like the villain.
Like the villain.
So that could be a way of him sort of going, I can't exactly say. I might be the villain. I might not. I might be a bounty hunter who's like travels both sides. He also confirmed that shooting begins in March of 2016.
Right. So, right. Which Mads kind of confirmed too,
mm-hmm.
right? I believe. That's for Rogue One. I apologize.
Rogue One is later this year, I thought.
Sorry, there's so many Star Wars movies, I'm confused, which is...
Isn't that great?
Proof it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan. Overall, I'm really excited that Del Toro is joining, or primed to join, the Star Wars universe. Like I said, while he's a movie star, really to me, he's a mega character actor. He's a guy who can disappear into his role. He's not going to distract. Him as the collector in Guardians of the Galaxy worked for me. He is someone who, when I was going to take it seriously and deliver, and can just, like I said, disappear into a role. And I'm not going to, on screen, I'll probably initially go, oh, it's Benicio. After that, I will be into who he is portraying.
And he's a huge fanboy. If there's something mm-hmm. that he is a fan of, he will give it the respect that it deserves. Because not a lot of people saw it, but the new Wolfman.
Right.
He demanded to be in that movie because he loved the original so much. And while the movie on the whole may have been a little...
Sure.
But his performance was so like, this is a guy who wants to be here and wants to do this job. So I'm beyond thrilled.
Right. And if he's playing a sort of kind of like a villain, that makes sense for me too. Because he's got a likable quality to him. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's one of those villains that I think we're seeing it with Kylo Ren. At least it's being sold to us that, hey... In his own mind, Kylo Ren doesn't see himself as a villain, which is a sign of a good villain in any story.
Yeah.
But with Del Toro, there could be some charismatic charm to that character.
Especially evidence from The Collector.
Right.
His performance in that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that villains thinking that they're right is something that I learned from pro wrestling. So
there's a lot of things you can learn from pro wrestling, Mark, and you and I know this very well.
Very much so. Pro wrestling master Ken. That's what I was going to, whatever. Anyway, so the main crux of today's show mm-hmm. is about toys. And as you see, I have my small little fortune that I picked up from the Disney stores and
you've done well here.
GameStop had a couple of things. So we'll get started and we'll bring up some of your
sure.
other purchases when we get to them. But the first thing, the biggest thing, arguably, that everybody, you know, you see somebody wagging around these anytime you're in any sort of a Star Wars atmosphere. And I was at the parks last night, and I saw many lightsabers. And there were many new lightsabers put on display.
Right.
Most notably Kylo Ren's.
Yes.
And I think there are five or six different versions of Kylo Ren's lightsaber that you can pick up at retailers across the globe, including the one on top there. That's the Force FX, the one that nobody should play with. That's just for hanging above the fireplace.
Right.
And the most interesting one, though, is the one on the bottom left. That is the Blade Builders lightsaber pack.
Yeah.
And you can, there are little lightsaber daggers there. You can have like a triple blade going on, or like a crawl, four bladed thing there. What sort of a thing would you want? Like that's whatever you want in a lightsaber.
You know, I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to lightsabers. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like a hilt and a blade. However, I've been a fan, and this might make me unpopular in some circles, I've been a fan of the Kylo Ren lightsaber, the broad saber, whatever you want to call it.
As have I.
From the beginning. Is it a little bit of a cheesy thing, much like Darth Maul's double-bladed? Yeah, absolutely. But it doesn't seem out of place in the Star Wars universe.
No?
I have more problems with the Inquisitors spinning, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of a traditionalist, but this pack, if I was a kid, could you imagine? Well, you didn't grow up in the 80s.
No.
God bless you. If I had this in the 80s, we all had some toy lightsabers. I still have one of the ones I bought in the mid-90s. But if I could build my own lightsaber, that would be a dream come true. And I know a lot of people have younger kids, and they've bought this weekend. Mm. And this is a fun set. So I think I'd keep mine a little bit traditional. Might go a little crazy, do a little three tri-pronged.
Like a snicked Wolverine,
yeah,
sort of,
yeah,
a thing.
What would you build?
I'm a big fan of the crossguard. I've ever since I saw Count Dooku's like curved hilt,
yeah.
I was like, that's more refined. I really like that. So I would probably make the Jedi version of that. It doesn't look like it has the exact thing, but we've got a couple of curved pieces in there. And also I'm a big fan of the crossguard lightsaber too. One of the coolest, I got a chance to see a couple of these toys up close. Surprise, surprise. But they have etchings of like the rough nature of the blade that's
right.
shown in all of the trailers so far.
Right.
And I like how that's translated of
right.
how unrefined and just pure power this blade is.
Yeah, and I think it's been pretty well defined now that's probably something that's key to the Kylo Ren character,
mm-hmm.
And whoever these Knights of Ren are. The fact that these are guys who maybe are drawing on the legacy of the past and they're building their own stuff. Maybe
mm-hmm.
they don't have the refined training. They certainly didn't learn it in some kind of fancy temple on Coruscant. So that's why I really do like the Kylo Ren lightsaber and have from that first shot. And just look at it right there. Look
yeah.
at it on this shirt.
Yeah.
Look at it there. It
we
is
got it.
Already
yeah,
a
pop. This already is an icon.
It's
and
an
we
iconic,
don't know anything about this
right.
guy.
Absolutely. The character
design.
We got design,
the mugs.
I mean,
we got flip.
That,
I mean, look at that.
That's why I bought this Kylo Ren toilet bowl sized coffee mug. it's because I just go, look at that. That is a great design. I love what they're doing with that.
It's one of the coolest things and one of the most iconic things to come out of The Force Awakens already.
Absolutely.
And we're still months away. The next part, the next big set of toys are the, and I'm pretty sure I can say this, we've said
yeah.
it a couple times, the Lego
Ooh.
Sets. We've got a couple up there on the screen, but even more importantly,
yeah.
we've got a couple here in
well,
studio.
Well, I yes. Now, it should be noted, I didn't participate in Force Friday.
No.
I did not wait in line. I did not do any of that. That has to do with my past job, and I lost too many holidays to Black Friday. Haven't had a Thanksgiving in 17 years because of Black Friday. So I don't participate in forced retail events. However, yesterday, I went to a Target and went, let me just look at the carnage of Force Friday and see if there's anything left.
Pick the bones clean.
So I may have picked a few things up.
So we've got the Kylo Ren's command shuttle.
Oh, my gosh.
And also behind it. Oh, and we've got Rey's speeder, of course.
That's right. So here's in the order that I purchased these. I saw – first thing I saw was a first order troop transport. That's not exciting.
The most exciting Lego set, some would say.
Yeah, yeah. It's
sir.
Like, build this set that's purely kind of administrative from a war's point of view. I would have loved to have gotten the Poe Dameron X-Wing that was sold out. I made
yeah.
it a point to buy Rey's speeder, not because I think the speeder is a fun design. It fits into Star Wars. But I am already a fan of Rey going in because I think, like I said, she's going to be key to this franchise. And I'm just a fan of the character, and I want to find out what that staff is.
Exactly.
So I bought that. That's pretty cheap.
That costs
like the one small car.
Yes.
One small car payment, maybe. Then I went over and I picked up the, as it says on the side of the box, La Command Shuttle de Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren's command shuttle, because I do love, I knew I had to have a Kylo Ren Lego,
mm-hmm.
Lego figure. And it comes with General Hux.
That, I mean, I'm sure they were looking at all of the stuff
yeah.
for Force Friday and like, you know what, there are a couple of people on here that we need to reveal the name of.
Right.
Just in case.
Right. And then it has a female First Order officer.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminiscent of Juno Eclipse from the Force Unleashed
yeah.
games. So I bought that. So then I left. I left the store. And I was done. And I happened to stop by the Lego store. I was like, let me just see what's in there. And I stared at this puppy for a long while. For those on iTunes, I've got the new Millennium Falcon set. And I stared at it and I was like, there's no way I'm going to also buy that. I won't be able to eat this week. Then I saw that old Han Solo and that old Chewbacca. And I was like, how can I not have this in my collection? Mm. Credit card out. I'm in debt for the rest of my life. But I own the new Millennium Falcon.
And at least you only got one.
Only one.
Yes. That'll probably change. You'll have one.
And
for
then
the box
I ran out of the store and didn't look back after I purchased it.
Just no shame whatsoever. Poe Dameron's X-Wing, as I hear on mm-hmm. screen for you iTunes listener, the one person who's listening on iTunes, I'm just having fun with my mouth today. Again, and there's another one. Take that if you want. This has become such an iconic image of the X-Wing itself for Black Squadron, but not a lot of Poe Dameron toys.
I haven't seen a ton, no.
No, because like even in this set, we've got a lot of the main characters and then just like a heavy trooper.
Right.
No Poe Dameron. In a lot of the pin sets at the Disney parks, there's a lot of troopers and a lot of some of the people you see here. Not a lot of Poe Dameron.
Right.
And I think that's something that's indicative of the story right now, that's something is happening with Poe that they don't want to reveal yet.
Do you think do you think the answer is yes, but in how they're marketing and the figures they're releasing. I asked myself this question on my show Spotlight Star Wars, which you of course can subscribe on iTunes on the Knapsack Files podcast feed.
Beautiful.
I still talk Star Wars every Saturday morning. I kind of asked myself to my fans who listen. It seems to me that there's only a small collection of figures that they are releasing. Whereas in 1999, Phantom Menace figures, when I did wait in line at midnight for those figures, mm-hmm. you were buying Captain Panaka, Chancellor Valorum, Captain Tarples, all these kind of tertiary side characters. They've kind of, other than maybe the First Order troops, they've just kind of stuck to these main ones that we know mm-hmm. are there. So the fact that you're not seeing as much Poe stuff does kind of lead me to believe there's either something there or he's more of a secondary character than we first thought. I don't know.
Despite how they treated all of the casting and how they're bringing everybody out as a three-pack, like it's definitely interesting. And this is the first movie that I've been cognizantly aware of toy spoilers. Like and
sure,
because with the first three, I was still relatively young.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but it wasn't as much of a big deal because everything was oh cool Star Wars, and then. Once episode 3 came out and I was in high school, I was like, oh, this, wow, unfortunate.
Well, a lot's changed in how, I mean, I've said this before, the word spoiler wasn't in the public lexicon 10 years ago. It was not something, much like selfie. These are new things, because of binge watching and because of social media and the presence, and there's so much information out there. Now it's become important to like ward off, anyone who's going to spoil. So I was very guarded going into the toy stuff. I think you're like me, agree. I haven't heard Kylo Ren's voice.
Nope. And please don't post comments or anything about it. We're not going to, or no clickbait, please. That's something that I want to try to keep as close to release as possible, if not just for the film.
Yeah.
Film's release.
And it's not that it's going to spoil anything, but I want as pure as experience as I can in this day and age when I sit down in the theater on December 18th.
It looks like so far a lot of the trailer stuff has been Act 1 things.
Yes.
And JJ's good at that.
Yes.
So I would like to keep it as such.
Yeah.
The next line of figures, speaking of the ones that they choose, the Sideshow Collectibles, Kylo Ren and First Order Troopers, wonderful points of articulation. And these are the huge collector's figures.
Yes, I think I saw these at Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con this year.
They revealed them there.
Yeah, impressive. Most impressive. Yeah,
very good.
Yeah.
They also had some of the standard, like, Target and Walmart fare. There's going to be a 36-inch of Kylo Ren and the troopers, and then there's going to be a 48-inch, essentially, young child-sized figure of both Kylo Ren and the First Order figures.
That's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
If I was a young kid and you got, like, a 3-foot Kylo Ren sitting at the end of your bed, you might wake up in the middle of the night with some nightmares. I don't know.
Put a functioning lightsaber in his hand, just with a button press and scare your kids. That'd be great. And again, like this is more just iconic Star Wars with the troopers and the quote unquote Sith Lord, and not a lot of the other folks in it too.
Yeah, it's a great shot.
I mean, they you can pose them however you want. You could you can make this shot yourself at home with just however easy payments of $200 a piece for every single figure.
Yeah. Again, I'm just so blown away at how well they've designed this movie. Mm-hmm. It looks and feels like Star Wars.
And like even with its simplicity, where you can look at the you can look at a character like IG-88. Excuse me for
going
back
you're gonna,
to a favorite.
I know you're going
to
look at IG-88 a lot.
All the time. Especially now with that Black Series figure. Thank you, Ken. Like, how they used one of the tanks from the cantina as his head. Like, that's... Yep. Like, you can see, like, oh, well, they took this and they changed something, and now it feels like an evolution. Like, BB-8 feels like an evolution.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about BB-8. Now, you were a Lego kid. I was a Lego... It's hard to find not Lego
kids. I'm
still
a Lego kid.
Yeah. I was a Nerf guy. I had almost all of the Nerf guns. So to see that Star Wars, they have released both First Order rifles, a bowcaster, which that's probably the one that I would want the most, and also a Millennium Falcon that fires Nerf darts, the Battle Action Millennium Falcon.
Okay.
I want them all, to be perfectly honest.
I didn't know these existed till this moment.
Really? Those I saw those at the Target I went to.
They were cleaned out in the Target I went to in Glendale then, because it was wow. I must have that bowcaster.
See, and they have red bullets and green for the bowcaster, and they also have blue bullets. So that might be indicative of what everybody's blasting.
It's not replacing the Lego Death Star set on my number one list, but it's number five with a bullet. I might need that and take it to some of those Nerf War, Turf War things my friends do over at Griffith Park and just start cleaning house like Chewy.
But then you need the Bandolero with Nerf
Absolutely.
Bullets.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking
Nerf
about.
Bullets. Just double wheeled. Yeah, no, see, that's a cool practical use of a toy.
I want that for the office. I want to shoot Andy Signore and Nick Mundy in the back with that Nerf bowcaster. That's what I want to do all week. I need to track that down. What's the price point on that?
I believe it's $25 or $30.
Oh God, I just spent $500 on Star Wars Legos. I can afford that. I'm getting it. I'm tracking that down.
Yeah, I mean, that I think will probably be the second hardest to find next to the Millennium Falcon.
I will find it.
It I will find you. wow, I didn't think I would catch you off guard.
You caught me off guard. I didn't know that existed. I knew like the Millennium Falcon drone.
Oh, the Millennium Falcon. You mean this Millennium Falcon drone created by the Air Hogs company? There is a quadrocopter Millennium Falcon as well as a model airplane-esque X-Wing fighter.
Yeah, look, I'm sure those are fun. I just, you know, you can fly that drone and hit a helicopter with it and cause problems. Drones, I'm not too excited by.
Not an airborne figure type of guy.
Nah, give me that Nerf gun and I'll shoot that drone out of the sky.
you just hook it right into one of the propellers and it'll go right down. No, I'm super down with that. I've seen the Millennium Falcon in action. It's really cool. I don't doubt that. Yeah, it's one of those fun things that you can take to a park and just be like, oh, wow, that's cool. I haven't seen the X-Wing in action yet.
Okay.
I'm very curious to see how that works, but it's got the clear wing up front just to sort of help with balance.
And looks cool.
Yeah.
Look, if you can play act an aerial dogfight with if they had a TIE fighter released as well, then maybe I'd take that to the park.
How you get a TIE fighter off the ground would be something special. Maybe a bomber, you have more room. But if you could add like sort of like a lasers and receptors in each so that you can actually have a dogfight in the air.
Yeah.
I think that's the next generation. I think that's episode 8 Force Friday, which we'll be talking about in 2 years here on Jedi Alliance.
Hey, I want a Rogue One Force Friday, man.
It'll happen. I know it'll happen. And finally, the character, even more so than Kylo Ren, that has been taking the world by storm, Monsieur BB-8.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen more BB-8 around than mm-hmm. Kylo Ren, than anybody else. This is the new face of Star Wars.
You're not far off from the absolute truth, man. And the reason I have, and I talked about this on Spotlight Star Wars this week, is when that first teaser hit, mm-hmm. and that essentially was the second shot we saw, was BB-8 rolling across the ground. I, like a lot of people, assumed, CGI.
Yep.
And then Abrams goes, oh no, au contraire, this is an actual droid. It was like we collectively as a fan base went,
yeah.
They're going to, that's real? Then how did they make it real? Because the head was bouncing on a ball. Yep. How do we do that? And I think from there, then we find the name BB-8. I make fun of a lot of the names in Force Awakens. Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma.
Supreme Leader Snoke. BB-8, it just, I fell in love with that name from the beginning. The character, then the shot in the next teaser where he's kind of doing the droid bend and it kind of like, ooh. This character is absolutely, you're not, I almost bought yesterday. It's a true story. I had the Kylo Ren coffee mug in my hand. I turned around and there was the BB-8 bicycle helmet. Now, I don't ride a bicycle right now, but it was a helmet with the BB. I thought for a second I could wear that tomorrow on Jedi Alliance. That's how much I love BB-8.
Is it? I saw at the parks yesterday. There was a little like portable sippy cup with the straw hanging out.
Yeah.
That had a little BB-8 tied to the straw so that it can walk around in a circle around the straw. Super simple. And I was like, this is a child's cup, yeah. But I want it.
Are you going to get the remote control Spiro doll here?
It may be shipping as we speak. It may not be shipping as we speak. Depending on what my credit card company has to say.
Oh, are you going to roll it around this desk, hypothetically, if you were to get it?
Hypothetically, it may take a little bit longer than next show, but in the future, that Spiro BB-8 will be on the show.
I have suggested over at the Screen Junkies offices that we have BB-8 races in the hallway.
I'm down.
And I just what I want to see. We can wager a little bit. You know,
that you got to change the paint a little bit.
Put a number on the top. Yeah, put like a Herbie the Love Bug 57 on it or something. You know, and just kind of go with it.
And it's more like I've seen. There's apparel. I've seen three different sizes of stuffed BB-8s, including like a life size one. Did you see the display at Target?
I did.
That had the little thing, and it's like, not a toy. Do not touch. Please do not remove.
Back away. Back away.
It's just like, I need that in my life too. This character, and even you can, if you can see closely, probably not, is the operator of Poe Dameron's X-wing.
Wait, what? What?
You didn't see that?
Spoiler alert! Look
that was,
at that.
No, that was in the X-wing, the X-wing Lego set.
I didn't. It wasn't there. I didn't see it.
Oh. Did I ruin something? I feel terrible.
No. Let's lock S foils into attack position here. Wow. Now, okay. That begs the question.
And this was the question I was going to ask. Does releasing toys so early before the film's release create anticipation or ruin some of the important story stuff?
Well, that actually wasn't where I was going.
No?
But that's a good, smart question.
Well, I do what I can.
My question is this BB-8? Or is this just the new type of astromech droid that's out and about in the galaxy?
I mean, look at the
color. Is this BB-9?
Look at the coloring. Like, we've got...
Your color... Yes, you're right. The coloring matches up, but I'm just guessing. I'm just supposing here. But as far as spoilers, to your question, ask it again. It was a great question.
I will ask the question again, which is, does releasing toys so early before a film's release create anticipation or ruin some important surprises?
I think overall increases anticipation, and it's something you have to do. September 4th was a little early for me. I thought I was surprised.
I thought it was going to be near the end of October.
October-ish and everything. But stuff is already out. Mm-hmm. We had seen enough. Might as well get it going. And look, for me being a weird kind of old dude that's sitting in his room and is going, I don't want to hear what Kylo Ren's voice sounds like. I'm the weirdo right now. I'm the one growing the Luke Skywalker beard, okay? But I was at the Lego store yesterday, like I said, debating with my soul to whether or not I buy the Millennium Falcon. And there was a kid with his dad, and the kid was 12, 13, next generation of Star Wars fan. And it's key because this has to keep growing. And he was looking at the Lego sets, and he was like, and that guy's part of the First Order. And this guy, Kylo Ren. And he said these words. He goes, you know what? I'm getting back into Star Wars. Now, it's funny to hear a 12 or 13-year-old kid be like, hey, I was into Star Wars at 10. I took a couple years off. But that's the reality of what it is at that age. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, anticipation is building. This movie not only is just going to blow the box office out of the water. That's what this does. It is a forced retail event for sure. This Kylo Ren coffee mug, there was a Kylo Ren sippy cup, there was, I almost bought the Rey coloring activity book. I mean, there's a lot.
Anything!
And then around the corner, there was the Star Wars, like, SpaghettiOs and the Star Wars Lucky Charms.
That was the funny thing. I was looking at lists of stuff in anticipation for the merchandise event, going like, alright, so who has what? And then I was like, There's exclusive Easy Mac.
Exactly.
Dude.
So this is fast becoming a part of the first Wayne's World about, we will not sell out. But I get it.
Sad.
But I get it. And this is the age of collecting, and it's big money, and it's smart. But the core of it, the building anticipation, yes, I think there's some. Look, the cover, we were talking it off air. Mm-hmm. The cover of this Millennium Falcon Lego set has plot spoilers.
Yeah.
It has some context now to some characters. That's just the way it's got to be. But I think releasing them now, it's part of the push, and it's a good thing.
And at the same time, though, there have been previous releases for different lines of toys. Like, there are some toys from Avengers Age of Ultron that, like the Lego sets or any other play sets, that have different events than what happened in the movie just because, this character wasn't in the set or this wasn't in that.
Sure.
So it is entirely possible that some of this is just there because, we didn't have a place for this character in any other set. Here, let's put them on the Millennium Falcon set. Let's put them in the First Order transport.
Yeah.
That's entirely possible, too. And it's all fun and misleading. I'm still curious to see. It just makes Poe Dameron that much more interesting. We've seen a lot about Finn. We've seen some about Rey and very little about Poe Dameron. So I'm very excited to see what all of the toys mean at the end.
It's fun. Hey, going back to the Phantom Menace when it was like, Chancellor Valorum, this guy must be a great power in the galaxy. Oh, no.
No. Hey, could you go and, like, there's this trade dispute thing. Could you just go check that out?
Rick O'Lee. Who is he? He must be a great pilot in... Oh, no. Just the guy from Wayne's World 2.
And I think in that regard, going with the more diluted approach with all of the stuff that we've already seen can bring those other smaller characters that much more of a surprise or fun.
But I'll tell you what I love that they're doing, and I believe I'm correct on this. Please, out there in the chat room, correct me if I'm wrong, but they are not releasing the soundtrack until the movie comes out or until December?
The day of. It is pre-orderable now, but you can pick up the soundtrack
the day of, December 18th.
I think 12:01, it'll be available digitally, as far as I know.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I was afraid that we were going to see some track.
A Qui-Gon funeral problem again. Yeah, you know. I like that. And that to me is a good thing. Hold back. That's pretty major. It's John Williams, man. I mean, how much longer is he going to be doing Star Wars? Unfortunately, we can't go on forever. So this is that's cool. That's cool for me.
Did you pick up Aftermath?
I have not picked up Aftermath, and I'll tell you, one of the reasons is because I don't host the show anymore, so I don't feel like I have to keep up to date on all the Star Wars books week to week.
And pressure on me. I mean, you just got...
You better read.
Yeah, I gotta. You just brought Tarkin back, and that made me go, I haven't picked up Tarkin either.
I loaned Tarkin to Sarah Stratton, and she read it, and she liked it. She liked Lords of the Sith better. I think, for me, Lords of the Sith is still my favorite of the new canon, but I'm hearing some mixed... to outright not liking Aftermath from some people who I trust their opinions of, one of them being Christian Harloff. So I'm going to have to read it. I want to read it. As I told Christian, I was like, can we just vote Heir to the Empire back in as canon? Can we just have a get-together? But he said, no, it's still a good read, but just isn't hitting as much as others. But I'm going to get it. Have you got it yet?
I have not gotten it yet. Okay. Like, this was an off-pay week for me.
I know how that goes.
So, yeah. I mean, I got a lot of the...
There's only so much.
Yes, there's so much I can load on a credit card before that payment date comes up. But that is the highlights. There's way too many toys to talk about in an hour period. This is like a pin drop, a needle in a haystack sort of thing. There's going to be even more releases, I'm sure, once we get closer and post-release. And just looking at the back of this this pop, like, this is a big series of pops. It's 12 pops in this series, if you count the exclusive Finn. And I have three of them. So...
Yeah.
Crap. I had somebody buy a C-3PO, like, from right under me, and I was like, no, that was...
Not
all right.
Day.
Okay.
And thank you for this, by the way.
Not a
fair trade.
Yeah, thank you for the IG-88 Black Series.
Yeah, for those who missed it, I traded an IG-88 Black Series for this Finn GameStop exclusive in First Order.
Of all the stores to get the exclusive pop, it was GameStop.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure Hot Topic, they all have little different ones, right?
GameStop just bought ThinkGeek. So they have a little bit of a connection there. So that's how I saw it. But we are going to end the show as we end all shows here on Jedi Alliance, and that is with the Duel of the Fates. Beautiful. Thank you. Love your cue. Last week's question: who would win in a ground battle, Ewoks or Gungans? Ken?
I have an answer.
Do you?
Did you see it posted on the Jedi Alliance
Facebook
page?
No, I didn't see it. I checked the answers yesterday. I didn't see it.
Okay, let me try to find it here while you keep talking here.
All right, so
I'm going to find. I posted my response.
The answers were almost a 2-1 victory for the Ewoks.
Really?
And I'm going to read a man by the name of Justin James's response. Ewoks. They beat armored Imperial troopers and AT-STs. For all of their tech, the Gungans got owned by battle droids and would have been taken prisoner if not for Anakin. I think that the Ewoks are smart enough to lure Gungans into their territory, a forest or jungle, and commence with a guerrilla warfare campaign the likes of which the Gungans have never seen. Whether on Endor or Naboo, the Ewoks take to the trees and slaughter the poor Gungans.
Okay. Can I read my response?
Please, read your
response. It's on
there.
I feel like kind of a tool reading this, but I'm
going to...
This is my answer. Honor. Pride. Fierce, brave warriors. Both sides of this hypothetical conflict are ripe with both. While it is hard to imagine an actual rift developing between these two diverse species, it is not hard to imagine that the fight would be brutal, long, and full of hilarious hijinks. The early advantage goes to the Gungans, as they seem to have a more clearly defined rank structure, a better handle on military tactics, and possibly the numbers advantage. However, one must never overlook the Ewoks' ability to face giant odds, and sometimes literal giants, and not blink until the special editions. Many good souls would go the way of Nanta and pass into the spirit world after these battles. Let's hope it never takes place. But in the end, I believe in my heart that this battle will come down to just two combatants, Jar Jar Binks and Wicket W. Warwick, and will end with both sitting down and sharing a snack and laughing away the pain of a battle hard fought. Draw!
Draw. Absolute draw. Well, the Jedi Alliance fans did not agree with you there, but probably one of the most artful responses on the Facebook page, which you can weigh in on this week's Duel of Fates, which is, should toys stay in the box or be opened and played with?
Oof. Oof.
Now, in a case of your Lego, a case of your... There's so many different types of Star Wars toys now. There are the Black Series, which arguably should stay in the box, depending on who you ask. But then you have your Legos. It would be a shame if that stayed in the box.
Wow.
But what do you think?
Look, that's tough. I grew up playing with them. All right. One of the reasons I don't have a lot of Star Wars toys left, other than a horrible day when I sold them all at a garage sale, but my Y-Wing's broken and busted because I played with it. Mm-hmm. So I think children should be allowed to play with these toys. However, I'm not a child.
Nope.
Well, by age, I'm not. Mentally, still very much a child.
Love the mug.
I tend to keep everything in a box now.
Yeah.
Not for I'm going to sell it later on eBay, just because I like how it displays. And if I don't have the proper room, an office to myself, everything, you know, I want to keep these all nice and new until the right time to take these out of the box. So I tend to go box. It's not as fun, though. It's not as fun.
You have them, but it's like I wouldn't say cheaper, these cost effective toys, which you can pick up at the Disney store, this diecast TIE fighter. You bet your sweet behind I'm going to be playing with these once the flipping thing comes out. It's hard. I definitely think there is a collectibles side, like these pops are collectibles, Series collectibles. But when it comes to these are collectibles, but it's like, you know what, you can
let me see that Phasma. Yeah, I mean, because you get to appreciate the detail a little bit more when it's in your hands, and you can kind of you know, just there's things you notice when they're outside of the box. So that's why, you know, if you can buy two, maybe do that if you have the room. But also, you know, Legos particularly, they attract so much dust. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. It's just hard to keep them clean. So
Do you have a Lego prior? Like, do you have the official Lego prior to pry the two pieces apart?
I do not.
Nope.
I am all natural with my Legos, kid.
Yeah, you got to keep your nails long. Maybe it's just...
I mean, you've taken that shirt out of the box.
Yeah, that's true. It's already lost so much of its value. I have to say played with, like, no matter what age there, if there's something that I won't play with, I probably won't get it. Like, I do have the pops. I'm not trying to collect them all, but I probably will. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself necessarily playing with these, because these aren't toys. But when it comes to these and the figures and the Lego, and I just want the lights lightsabers, so he's wave them around like crazy.
Yeah, if I had a lightsaber, if I bought that Kylo Ren lightsaber, my lightsaber's out, not only out of the box, it's in my car at all times, because you never know when you might need to...
battle my beard, got it, yeah, any time!
You might run into a Sith. So there's that kind of things, absolutely, the little figures. But then it's also weird at my age to define, you know, playing with your toys. Mm-hmm. Am I going to sit around in my room going...
And that's...
I might.
You never
know. I got no problem with that.
You got a show you got to do every week. Yeah. There's going to be some playing happening. That's why I'm a fan of the Disney Infinity, is I got those figures, and then I put them on the base, and now I'm playing a video game as opposed to...
But I'll tell you what I will open is some of those Star Wars Lucky Charms.
Fans were talking about that in the comments. That surprised me. That was definitely one of the more surprising releases from Force Friday. So... if you want to take part in this week's Duel of the Fates, head on over to our Facebook page and let us know in the comments, do you open your toys and play with them? Or do you keep them in their box and put them on display?
Can I make a guess of what Scrimshaw would have answered?
Please. Can't wait.
I think Scrimshaw would have answered that he opens up his figures and puts them in a nice tableau and play acts a nice play of intrigue and drama with his figures.
Probably. Like, very nice lighting, like specials and gobos and everything.
Yep, he's a deep, deep man.
I can see that happening, and I'm sure that's exactly what he'll say next week. Speaking of next week, Ken, it was wonderful having you back here on the Jedi Alliance.
It was great to come back. I love you guys, and I love what you guys are still doing with the show. I watch every week from my office. I put on my headphones and listen to you guys. And look, in this day and age of internet outrage, when you change the backdrop here and someone, I'm not watching the show anymore. you guys have generally received great positive responses from the fans, and to the fans, continue to watch this show and support this show. You guys are doing great, great job celebrating this great saga.
It's been an uphill battle, but the thing that stays the same is we have a general love and admiration for this saga, and we're glad that it's coming across to everybody watching. And thank you to everybody who's stuck around, everybody who's new, everybody who didn't even know the Ken was an original.
Yeah, someone's like, who's this old dude with the gray beard talking about playing with toys and Jenna Jameson? Who is this guy?
And if you want to know more about Jenna Jameson, subscribe to the Knapsack Files on iTunes. Ken, put yourself over. Where can the folks find you?
Absolutely. Love that pro wrestling terminology.
That's
you can
me.
Follow me at Ken Knapsack across all social media platforms. And do me that favor, subscribe to the Knapsack Files on iTunes. The Knapsack Files podcast feed has several different shows, including Spotlight Star Wars, released generally every Saturday morning, depending on if I hang out the night before with Roxy Stryer and drink till 4 in the morning. And it's a fun time for me just to kind of monologue directly to you, the fans, talking about Star Wars.
And please, anytime you have an open Monday, or any place that this show ends up, come on back. Ever since starting on the show while you were still here, it's always just been a pleasure
absolutely.
To talk to you.
Absolutely. And, you know, next time you guys do a figure fight, so let me know.
Please. No, and I'm sure we'll have more once the new figures come out. I have been the Internet Soapbox Mark Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Soapbox Mark. You can follow all of us here at Jedi Alliance at Jedi_Alliance. And thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. Catch the Jedi Alliance on iTunes. And please rate and review. You could also visit popcorntalknetwork.com to find a list of all of the past episodes of Jedi Alliance, including all of the ones hosted by Mr. Ken Knapsack, and links to both iTunes and YouTube. Please follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all of the Jedi Alliance related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.